Legal disclaimer: this audio is for informational purposes only and should not be construed as anything other than personal opinion and commentary based on public records and experience. All parties are presumed innocent unless proven guilty in a court of law, although, in all honesty, the reality too often feels like you're guilty first and must prove your innocence later. The following extension of this file was also created with similar digital voice technology. The following recording mentions DRM as the division of, instead of its correct full name, the Miami-Dade County Department of Environmental Resources Management.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to get you informed, quickly, cutting through the noise. Today, we're taking a close look, a real deep dive into some pretty serious claims surrounding Miami-Dade County's DERM. That's their Division of Environmental Resources Management. Our focus, it's what the sources we have call a specific playbook, a sequence of actions this agency allegedly uses. And we should say up front, these sources, they present a very direct, maybe even accusatory perspective.
That's right. They really do. The materials lay out series of allegations, step by step almost. They claim this process shows how DERM operates. And these are, well, quite pointed accusations. We're talking about things like unscientific land declarations, alleged conflicts of interest, even claims about fabricated reports. Just to be clear, our goal here is simply to convey what these sources detail impartially. We're not endorsing the views, just laying out the claim.
Okay, right. Let's unpack this then. So this DERM playbook, as they call it, where do the sources claim it begins? What's step one?
Step one, according to these documents, is to declare a wetland without science.
Mm-hmm.
The allegation is quite specific that these designations are made, you know, without proper real-time soil tests or looking at the hydrology or elevation surveys.
So just a declaration.
That's the claim. They even say that things like established agricultural use stuff backed up by tax records, maybe USDA filings, just gets ignored.
And why would they allegedly do that? What's the supposed motive?
Well, the sources allege it's about generating more violations to justify budgets, basically.
Hmm.
They use the phrase turning the property owner into the cash cow.
Okay, so step one is the declaration, allegedly without science. What comes next in this supposed playbook?
Step two, the sources claim, is to make the same person the biologist and the code enforcement officer.
Ah, so the person finding the violation is also enforcing it.
Exactly, that's the allegation. No independent review, apparently. The materials even bring up Florida's Code of Ethics, suggesting this kind of setup is prohibited, but, they claim, it's standard operating procedure at DERM.
Hmm, that raises questions about checks and balances, if true. So they've declared a violation, assigned the same person to find and enforce. What's the third step, alleged?
Step three is pretty serious. It's fabricate the inspection report.
Fabricate? How so?
The claim involves using photos from, say, other properties, maybe plant lists created after enforcement started, not before, skipping key soil tests. They call these props in a staged prosecution. One source even claims DERM used photos from a neighbor's property, presenting it as theirs. They flat out call it fraud.
Wow. That's a very strong accusation. If they're fabricating reports, where does it go from there? Does it involve other agencies?
Apparently so. Step four, according to these sources, is to forward the fraud to a partner agency.
Hmm.
They mentioned the South Florida Water Management District, for example, allegedly accepting these cases without cross-referencing their own data.
And other offices.
Yes. The mayor's office, they claim, reroutes complaints sometimes. And the Office of Inspector General, the OIG, reportedly sends cases back to DERM. The sources describe this not as oversight, but as a shield for the guilty.
So the allegation is a kind of closed loop, insulating the initial claims. What about controlling the information itself?
That brings us to step five, block scientific rebuttal and suppress public records. The accusation here is technical manipulation, corrupting file names, messing up document formatting online, making evidence hard to access on their public portal.
Making it hard for people to see contradictory evidence.
That seems to be the implication. While their own uploads remain perfectly fine, allegedly. It sounds like an information control tactic.
Okay, this paints a picture of procedural and information control. Where does the alleged playbook go next? Does it get financial?
It absolutely does, according to the sources. Step six is described as stripping a property's agricultural exemption. And they claim this happens with just one quiet call to the property appraiser. No proof needed, no hearing held, just done.
And the impact.
Taxes could skyrocket overnight. What was taxed at a low agricultural rate could suddenly face residential or commercial rates, a tenfold increase potentially. The sources call this financial warfare designed to force you off your land.
That's intense. Forcing someone off their land financially?
And that leads directly into step seven. Once the owner is financially strained, maybe broken, Derm allegedly offers to buy the land through the Willing Seller Program, but for a fraction of its actual value, a value the sources claim Derm's own actions help diminish.
A sort of manufactured lowball offer, then? This sounds like it pushes people towards legal battles they can't afford.
Precisely. Which brings us to the court system. Step eight is drag you into circuit court with a record they built themselves. The sources claim judges often only see Derm's version of events, and that introducing new evidence is difficult or impossible. They use the word rigged.
And even getting hurt is a challenge.
That's step nine. Delay and entrap. Hearings get postponed, motions ignored. Months, even years pass, draining the owner's resources. The sources are very explicit here. They call it punishment by delay, not due process.
So after all these steps, what's the alleged end game?
Step 10, simply put, follow the money. The sources allege that every citation, every action potentially unlocks grant money, bigger budgets for the agency, maybe bonuses, definitely job security. They state very emphatically that this is, in their words, environmental profiteering, not environmental protection.
Okay, so what does this all mean for you, listening? The core claim from these sources is stark, that Doan's actions, as they describe them, are absolutely not about saving the environment. They frame it as environmental profiteering, a racket, even, where profit comes at the expense of your rights.
A very strong set of claims.
Indeed. And the sources don't just lay out the problem. They offer advice on how individuals can fight back. They mention challenging jurisdiction. Do they even have the authority? Demanding public records get everything. And crucially, submitting independent science. They specifically name-drop the USDA NRCS, that's the Natural Resources Conservation Service, and UFIFAS, the University of Florida's Agricultural Institute.
Using established independent scientific bodies.
Right. And they also suggest filing Burt J. Harris claims. That's a specific Florida law letting landowners seek compensation if government action unfairly tanks their property value. The bottom line from these sources seems to be, force them to prove it. Because they argue without proof, the agency has no real authority.
Which really leads to a broader thought, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Beyond this specific case, it raises a really important question. In a world just flooded with information, how do we actually ensure transparency and accountability from regulatory bodies?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more importantly, what role do citizens like you play in demanding that proof and upholding due process? Something to think about.